Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this Christmas edition of The Dose Show. This week, I have with me Dr. Nicole Sparks. She is an OBGYN physician with a passion for women's health and is an advocate for obstetric and gynecologic care. In addition, she talks about relationships and balancing work as well as family life. So, I'm Robin B., and now it's time to introduce our guest. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Sparks. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. What are you doing this Sunday?
I am on call, but as of right now, no babies are delivering, so I'm in my office.
Hopefully
it will stay that way for the next few minutes.
Yes. Let's hope. Okay. So before we get started, can you just let the people know who you are, what you do, and just a little background?
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be on The Dose Show. My name is Dr. Nicole Sparks. I am an OBGYN here in Atlanta. And I'm just really excited to kind of talk to you guys about my journey, about some, of course, some hot topics that are going on right now, aka COVID vaccines.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm excited about talking about all of that today.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining the show. So as you mentioned, we're going to start with hot topics. Are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
You ready? Okay, let's do it. Okay, so my first question for you is, what was your medical school and career journey? Why did you decide to become an OBGYN?
Right. So First of all, I've always wanted to be a physician. My mom said I've been saying that since I was 4 years old. So that was always the plan. Mm-hmm. And as far as OB, I feel like I realized that after I was in medical school. And so I went to medical school in Florida, Florida State. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do going into my rotations. And I had my OBGYN rotation fourth. And I realized that I really loved surgery. I really loved operating and I loved following patients in the office. And I just felt like there was just great continuity of care. I was able to follow women throughout some of the most important parts of their lives. And I also felt like women could really trust me because, you know, my patients tell me things they don't tell their spouses or their families. And so they really trust you. And to me, it's such a privilege to be able to do that. And so I think the field really called me. I really tried to stay as far away from it as I could simply because I heard, you know, the lifestyle's bad, the call is bad. So I tried to talk myself out of it. And honestly, it just, you know, OBGYN, yeah. That's what I tell people.
Wow. So you literally just picked it. You kind of like chose it when you were on,
when
you
I
were
was
finishing up.
And yet when I was on it, I was like, okay, this is it. When I had general surgery first. So I knew I had to do something with operating because I love general surgery. But then when I realized with OB, I felt like I was missing the continuity of care where I could follow patients over time. And I feel like OBGYN gives you the ultimate continuity of care because, you know, I have patients, you know, 10 times over the course of their pregnancy plus delivering them. So you really get to build a really wonderful relationship over the course of a year.
Wow. That's amazing. So back in September, you did a TikTok on sexual health questions you may be afraid to ask.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Without giving away any names, what's the strangest question someone's asked you?
There are so many strange questions that we get. I would say one of the stranger ones that we get usually from some of my patients' spouses whenever they're pregnant, the husbands or spouses are always worried about if the baby can feel them during sex. And I'm like, no, that's you're not that special and the baby's not going to be able to feel you.
Yeah.
I have patients who come in, they're like, oh, my husband won't have sex with me because of this. And I have to reassure them that that is not the case, that the baby is safe inside the uterus and you can do what you do. It's totally fine. But I think that's one of the common ones I get. And that's usually, when spouses used to be able to come to appointments that they would ask me then. I always just find it funny every time they ask.
Wow. So how is that? The spouse can't come. So are the moms nervous? Are you nervous? Like, how is that?
Yeah. So since COVID, we have really been kind of limiting. So we do, you know, every practice is different for our practice. we are letting spouses come as far as for ultrasounds because, you know, we stopped that for a while too. And it, you know, it really just took a toll on the patients, especially if it was their first baby and their first kind of lightened the restrictions a little bit. And so they're able to come when it's an ultrasound visit. If it's not an ultrasound visit, then no. So we just try to comfort the patients. And I really just tell them it's really just to protect them. You know, the cases are getting higher, unfortunately. We just want to keep everybody safe, you know, both the people that are working in our office and their family as well.
Yeah, well, at least they come to the ultrasound. Right. That's really special.
Right.
And so, okay. What was, in addition to your practice, you also have a strict workout regimen. So what got you into working out?
So I feel like I have my intermittent bouts of working out. I feel like in residency, I was very active in CrossFit. And so I did really well with that. And then after I had my daughter, my last year of residency and halfway through my pregnancy, it was just becoming too much. So I stopped it. I didn't do it for a while. And then about 6 months, I had a C-section. So about 6 months after my C-section, I was like, okay, it's time to get it back together. And I hired a personal trainer. So I've been working with him for a while. We took a break, obviously, during COVID. So for about 3 or 4 months. And during that time, I really just ran. I don't like running. I don't even, not even a little bit.
Same.
But I did it because I was like, let me do something. So now I'm back with my trainer now. And so I'm just really excited. I think the hardest thing is to fit time. And I tell people there's never going to be time. You really just have to make it and get it. Like I have 2 kids. I have a super busy career, but you just have to make time. Even if it's 30 minutes, I usually just do 30 or 45 minutes with him. And, you know, it's happened where I've been with him and I've had to leave for delivery. Like it's just, but you know, we really try to get something in and I'm going to jump on the Peloton train and get a Peloton in the house because I think I need something at my house so I can, you know, really do a lot when I'm not with him as well. But I just feel like you have to put, if you really want to get healthy, you have to just make time for it. There's always going to be an excuse for why you can't do it. You just have to make time. You just have to make it.
Exactly.
And it's 45 minutes, whatever it is.
Right. So have you dealt with any, okay, speaking about COVID and the pandemic, have you dealt with any moms that come in that, or, you know, have concerns about COVID or have it?
Oh, yes. So it's definitely, I mean, I can attest to that the cases are getting worse. So, you know, I would say prior to this last 6 weeks, I mean, probably just a handful of COVID patients as far as for me, like our hospital, we didn't really have a lot for labor and delivery. The ICU, of course, but I'm not really up there. And I would say in the last week, the last 4 to 6 weeks, it has definitely increased. And so, you know, there's this big thing about the vaccine, and I know, and I've kind of gone back and forth even as a physician, but for me personally, why I'm personally going to do it is because I feel like my risk is now getting higher and people have to when you're in OB. So it's one thing when you just have, you know, COVID and you're rounding on the patients, but for us, like I'm literally there pushing with the patients. So they're literally pushing for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, or I'm doing their C-section, you know, that's 30 minutes to an hour. So I'm with these patients for a prolonged period of time.
Right.
I feel like at this point, I am actively working with COVID patients and it's not a lot, but it's enough where, you know, we at least have one or two every week. And so, you know, to me, that's for me to go ahead and get the vaccine for me personally, because I just feel like I need to protect myself and my family.
Yes. And especially in Atlanta, you know, it's pretty open. So, you know, you just in general, right? Just as you move around, you want to be protected. So.
Right. Exactly.
I feel you, girl. I feel you. Okay. So you survived Hot Topics.
Yay.
I know. And so now we're going to head into classes and sessions. So this is just where you're going to go a little bit more in depth with your answers, but you've been doing a great job. So,
okay, great.
All right. So back to this COVID vaccine. There's been a lot of talk about it. And how much of a concern for pregnant women should they have for getting it? Should they get the vaccine or do you not know yet?
So I tell my patients, like, all of this is new. And so we just go by the guidelines as they come out. Now, obviously, we know that the vaccine just came out. And so ACOG, which is our college, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, they have released recommendations. And basically the recommendation is share decision-making with your provider. So, you know, ACOG has explicitly stated that COVID-19 vaccines should not be withheld from pregnant individuals. Okay. If they meet criteria otherwise, then you basically, they can't be withheld from pregnant patients, nor can they be forced upon pregnant patients. So I tell everybody, it's totally up to you. I can tell you about the risk and the benefits, you know, but it's totally up to you. Remember that vaccines were not specifically tested on pregnant women. And so there are no specific recommendations for them. And so you really just kind of have to use your judgment. The same way we're doing, we're not mandated to get it yet, even as healthcare workers, but because a lot of us have constant exposure, we're deciding we're going to go, you know, go ahead and get it. And it's the same with my patients. So I tell them, if you have any strong inclination and you really want to get it, then by all means do so. And if you don't want to get it, I will support you either way. And because it's so new, I think you just have to really see what is going to work best for you. If you're like somebody who wants to wait, you want to see what happens to other people, then, you know, do that. That's fine. And I totally get that as well. And if you're someone, you know, say you're a pregnant healthcare worker, then you may be like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and get the vaccine because, you know, what's my other alternative? Getting COVID as a pregnant woman, you know, which we know that, you know, pregnant women can get sicker. And so I think you just have to talk with your provider and then make a decision based on that. There is no right or wrong answer at this time. We all know that that can change daily.
Yes. Yes. That's the key word. Right. It's, you know, we're all learning every single day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay. So what are some self-care techniques that women can do for themselves? And this is not COVID related, just like, you know, with issues such as fibroids, just overall vaginal health.
Yeah, I think so. I think for overall health, it's just, I think don't neglect your health is the biggest thing. So I think even during a year like this where, you know, people, I mean, I think during, gosh, April and May, I mean, we barely had any patients coming in, which obviously was expected. But now I tell patients, like, don't put your health on the back burner. Like, for example, I had a lump in my breast that I just was just ignoring. And I got it checked out. And they said it was benign and it's fine. But, you know, I'm kind of anal, so I might get it checked on again. But, I feel like, as women, we get so absorbed in just everything else and taking care of other people. So, you know, I take care of my husband. I take care of my kids. I take care of patients. But if I'm gone, you know, who's going to take care of all those people? So you really have to know that at some point you have to put yourself first. And self-care is as little as when I come home and I put my kids to bed early so I can get a 30-minute bubble bath, you know, and just some time to pray or to read. And self-care is you actually going to the doctor if you're concerned about anything, if something doesn't feel right, you know, or it's not right. And specifically with fibroids, which I've suffered from that too. I've had a myomectomy before my son. My biggest fibroid was actually 15 centimeters, which is huge. So, you know, I have been there and I literally just let it grow and grow and grow until, you know, because I was in medical school at the time, until I finally, you know, talked to one of my attendings at the time. And I was like, look, I need an ultrasound. I am literally bleeding all the time. Like, I look pregnant. I was basically telling people they would congratulate me and I would just say thank you because that's how big my stomach was.
Wow.
So, you know, I tell people you cannot let it get to that point. So if you are worried about something, especially for Black women, you know, we all know the disparities that come along with us. Like, if you are worried about something, say something, speak up to your physician. And if your physician, you know, doesn't take you seriously, I tell people you are not married to your doctor. Find a new doctor.
Yeah.
People feel bad. I'm like, why? You're not married to your doctor. Go to whoever your insurance will take. And so go to a doctor that's going to listen to you and that'll take your concerns seriously. Because if you're concerned about it, you know, we should be concerned about it too. So I think that's my biggest thing is, to me, self-care looks like you actually taking care of yourself. And if you're worried about something, even if something as small as, oh, I have this weird vaginal odor, you know, it could be BV or yeast, but let us check it out, you know.
Right.
It can be something as small as that, or, you know, something you're worried about, cancer, big or small. Bring it up to us. That's what we're there for.
Wow. That's really helpful. So have you dealt with any women with infertility?
Oh yeah. A lot, especially in the area I'm in, because I feel like in this area, people wait to have children until they're older. Not to say old. I tell people you're not old, but in the OB world, you know, once you hit 35, which I'm turning in a month. So I get it. Like, you're kind of old in our world. So we deal with a lot of that, where women come in, they're 38 and they're 39 and, you know, now they're ready to have kids, or they've had kids before. And now they're in a new relationship and they're 40 and they want to have children. So As far as that, I tell people that age is the number one risk factor. You know, the older you get, the harder it's going to be. But then I also tell people, like, before you even decide to have kids, you want to be the healthiest version of yourself. And so, you know, if a patient comes to me for preconception, I tell them, you know, you want to be at a healthy weight. You want to be eating healthy. You want your periods to be regular, you know, because pregnancy puts so much stress on the body, you know, puts so much stress on your heart. It puts so much stress on your kidneys that you want to make sure that you are at a good and healthy weight and that you are, you know, basically at your best self before you even get pregnant and add additional stress onto your body.
And so hasn't the age changed though? You know, haven't we been having kids
Oh
later
yeah, so
on?
people are having kids later on. So to me, I don't think like if you're 34 and you're not ready for children, I think that's totally fine. People are having kids later on, but I also tell people to explore your options. Like for example, I've gotten a couple of my friends to freeze their eggs because we're all about 35 right now, and you know, I have two children, so it's fine. But some of my friends are like, I don't think I'll be ready for kids for a while. That's totally fine. But know that as you get older, your eggs are getting older too. I joke and say that they're getting scrambled. And yes, you could potentially have a baby. Of course, you can. I have probably three or four 45-year-olds who are pregnant right now, but that comes with some added stress, you know, increased risk of preeclampsia, increased risk of diabetes, increased risk of miscarriage. Of course, you can have a totally healthy pregnancy, but every year you get older, there are increased risk. And so, you know, I've encouraged a couple of my friends, and if you know you don't want to have children for a long time, explore the option of freezing your eggs. So at least if you're 40, you still have 34, 35-year-old eggs. So I
So what is that? What is that on average? How much does that
Oh
cost
goodness, it
to freeze?
ranges, but I mean it's a couple thousand. I mean it's gonna take you out a little bit, but remember
A couple or more
it
than
could be more than
that?
that. It could be more than that. It really ranges on where you go. But then I also tell people if you're doing, say you're doing IVF, that you know that'll take you around, you know, at least 10 grand as well. So you're kind of paying money either way. But I would say personally, like if I did not have any children right now, for me personally, I would actually freeze my eggs. This is me personally. You know, I have two beautiful children. They're four and they're two. I got my hands full. We're good over here. But if I didn't, that's something I would strongly consider. And I've had a couple of my friends who've done that, and they're very happy they've done that because it just gives you something in your back pocket. Now, if you try and you got pregnant on your own, great. But if you did, at least you have, you know, a plan B. And so that's what I tell people. Just don't get rid of all of your options because you may not want a kid now. 2 or 3 years, you meet the love of your life, and all of a sudden that changes. I've just seen it happen all in my office, right?
So could you conceive naturally and still have some on the back
You
burner?
could. That's what some people do. They'll try on their own first, and if they don't, then they know, okay, I got these eggs that I can go back to. But yes, you can certainly try on your own. If it happens, then great. That's wonderful.
That's awesome. Good tips. So you created you created a blog, right, on 5 tips for having a successful relationship in med school. So, you know, that's how you met your husband, right?
I met
Or
him
did you meet?
right before medical school. So we, I actually, after, I know you asked me about my route, and I think my route was a little bit non-traditional. So I didn't go straight into medical school. I taught high school actually for a couple of years in Atlanta, and I actually met my husband while I was here teaching. I took the MCAT and then moved back to Florida. So he literally proposed and then I left. And so it was really hard in the first 4 years of our marriage was separated and it was very, very difficult. You know, we had to travel every week to see each other. So in the YouTube video I did on that, I really just wanted to tell people that it's not impossible for, you know, to have and keep love in medicine. The divorce rate is higher in medicine. We know that. And that is one of the things that really scared me when we got married, especially when we were separated. And not separated is not together, just separated isn't physically separated. Let me make that. So, you know, but we made it just a priority. So we saw each other every week, every single weekend, no matter what. Time I got to my last year of medical school, both our cars had broken down. We had to both get new cars because it put so many miles on it. Really dedicating time. So I talk in the video about how, you know, at 9 o'clock every night, I would just stop what I was doing. You know, we usually would study late to all hours of the night, but I would make sure I stopped even if it was for 20 or 30 minutes just to, you know, say hi, how are you doing? How's it going? This is what's going on. But I think just constant communication and keeping those lines open made a big difference. And then residency, I just made sure that I went to where he was, for because I knew for us that we couldn't deal with another 4 years of being separated. And I'm glad we did that. We had, you know, I had both of my children in residency, and we are going to be coming up on 10 years in 2021.
What? Congrats! So
it's actually flown by, but I tell people he's literally been with me for all of it. It has not been easy. I mean, I know people see the pictures. They're like, oh, you guys are so perfect. We're not. We fight. I mean, don't believe.
Of course.
But yeah. You know, we've done something right, you know, if we've been together 12 years and been married for 10. So just super excited about it. And, you know, lots of prayer, that too.
Yes, yes. Thanks for sharing that, because a lot of people are going right. through that. So right. I know that was really helpful. And you also wrote about 5 ways to combat racism. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we're in a time where we're dealing with a lot of social challenges. So as a Black woman in the medical field, how can we confront this issue?
So similar to what I said before is, I think number one is finding a physician who will listen to you. And we do know that some outcomes are better if you do find a physician that looks like you. And I'm not saying that every Black doctor is, you know, great and wonderful. But I know for me, because I'm in Atlanta, I do have an advantage. So all of my doctors are okay. Dermatologist, my OB, my family medicine. All
that, you know, I love
like, that was not an option for me. I know I have a friend who's in Arizona, and she's like, I wish I could do that, but I don't have that. We're in Atlanta. It's the mecca of Black doctors here. So I'm blessed, you know, in that regard. But I think number one, the same way you research a hotel and you look for the best hotel and you look for 5 stars, that's what you do. So I tell patients, I'm like, if you liked your visit today, go leave me a review, because that's what people look at and that's what you should. So go to the reviews and see, what are people saying about this doctor? If you know somebody who's been to this doctor, a lot of my patients come from some of my patients come from social media, but a lot of them will come because, oh, my cousin came to see you and she liked you. Oh, my mom came to see you. So I'm
home
for the break. So go by that. If your sister and your cousin like that doctor, go see that doctor, you know, and then, you know, see the vibe that you get, you know, when you're telling them, you know, are they listening to you? Are they taking your concerns seriously? Are they blowing you off? You know, some of the stories that we've heard, unfortunately, about especially, you know, pregnant Black women and the statistics that go along with that, you know, they'll complain of a headache or they'll complain of, you know, something that, you know, a doctor will blow off and it ends up being, you know, really serious.
That.
And so make sure you have a doctor that will take your concerns seriously, you know, and everything's not an emergency, but you should find a doctor who can know the difference between reassuring you and knowing that, okay, this is serious. We need to actually work this up. And then, you know, I tell people to ask questions. It surprises me the amount of people who come into the office and I'll ask them what medications they're on and they're not really sure, or they don't know, or they'll tell me the medication, but they have no idea why they're taking it. You always need to ask questions. I literally, before I end every visit, I'm like, do you have questions? And I'll ask it 2 or 3 times, because I want to make sure that before you leave, everything was clear in our visit. Why did I order it? If I swabbed you, why did I swab you? What is it testing for? How long is it going to take to come back? You know, people think we get annoyed by that. Ask me the questions. I can't spend an hour in there with you, I know, but if you come in there with questions, I should answer that. You know, I am your physician, and gone are the days of us, you know, just basically telling you what to do. This is not medicine anymore. This is shared
decision. You're involved.
So I present your options to you, and we make a decision together.
Wow, that's good. Well, I want to come to you when I'm pregnant, okay? Well, thank you so much for taking your time out. You're super awesome and just amazing to talk to. So where can people find you on social media and anything you have, any business related things?
So all my name is the same everywhere. It's Nicole Alicia MD. So on Instagram, on TikTok, on my website, www.nicolealiciamd.com. So everything's the same. Come find me. If you're in Atlanta, you need an OB, come see. I have 4 locations. I would gladly come see you. And I am just as wonderful in person as I am on social media. I tell people that it's not fake. I'm this great in real life too. Okay. So yeah. So I would love to see you, especially if you're a Black woman. I tell them, I'd like them to come see me and just reassure them that, like, you know, we will take good care of you, especially if you're pregnant. So, you know, blessed to be in the fields, and I'm glad what I'm doing.
Yes. Can't wait to meet you and come see you. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week and happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Bye.
Bye. Amazing. Dr. Nicole Sparks, thank you so much for joining the show. You guys, I know that you enjoyed that, because her energy is just so magnetic, and I can see why she has a lot of patients. And like I said, you guys, when you're dealing with finding an OBGYN, you're trying to find someone to take care of your precious cargo. Not only your health, but your child's health. So it's really important that you choose wisely. And if you need someone and you're in the Atlanta area, I'm sure she's your girl. But now for the Ask the Doc segment. This is my favorite segment. You guys all know me. You know me by now. That I love answering questions that you guys ask. You send them in weekly to @thedoshow on Instagram. And I just choose one each week to pick. So this week, it's so nice because you guys are asking about Christmas and my fondest memories. And I will have to say that to answer the question of, what is your favorite memory of Christmas? I would say that my favorite memory would be when I got a trampoline. What? I got a trampoline. I think I was about maybe 15, 16 years old. Maybe younger. I'm trying to not sound so immature that I wanted a trampoline when I was older. But I think I was like around 14 actually. And I really, really, you know, I was into gymnastics. I was into cheerleading. And of course, so that's helping, you know, build my brand, my little child brand at that moment. So my parents, I guess, knew that. And one day we had this nice single family home with a huge backyard growing up. And so I just remember looking out the window and it was snow everywhere. But all I could see is my huge trampoline already set up, ready to be jumped on. And I could not contain myself. So you guys, that was something that was really special. I could always have my friends over, especially my cheer friends, you know, and we could practice. And it was just such a fond memory. So I really, 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 really miss that. And as you grow older, we know that presents are not the same anymore. It's just bills, you know, we just want money. So I hope you guys have a great, great Christmas, and feel free to share your Christmas memory, your favorite one. Thank you. You guys, so being that this is a Christmas edition episode, I just want to reflect on the past holidays and the memories I shared with my family, most of which were before going into pharmacy school because I moved across the entire United States from East to West Coast just to pursue my dreams. And of course, with that comes sacrifice. Of course, with that comes times where you feel alone and you feel like no one is there. And no one may not be physically there, however, they're there in spirit. So you guys, if you are alone this holiday, if you are with your family, but you're social distancing and you cannot actually physically touch them, just reflect upon the memories that you've shared in the past and know that your special person is still there. They still yearn to be with you, but because of the times, everyone's going through the same thing and we cannot actually enjoy it in the same way. So just know that it's going to be okay. You are going to be able to embrace them soon. You're gonna have a great Christmas next year, prayerfully, if we all get together and fight this. So guys, just be positive this holiday season. And I just wish you the best and most merry Christmas ever. Well, that concludes today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, if you want to support the show, then please share, subscribe, and leave a review over iTunes or Spotify. Do not forget to submit your questions on Instagram for the Ask the Doc segment @thedoshow so we can read them on next week's show. I'd like to thank Dr. Nicole Sparks again for joining me on behalf of The Dose. Happy holidays.